Look at Hebrews in chapter 2. The book of Hebrews. How many have their Bibles with them tonight? Let's see those Bibles. Amen. I'd like to see the Bible. Hebrews in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And I think we ought to pray. Father in heaven, we do ask that you'd have mercy upon us. Lord, we do rejoice with these ladies and these families that have given birth to these new children. We rejoice with them. And Father, it but reminds us that we would desire to see souls born again. And oh God, that you would might bless this church and bless the preaching of your word, that we might see some new births tonight. And Lord, this my revival might not end up with many souls coming to know you as their Savior. And oh God, we do pray that you'd give us true, lasting revival. God, we pray that you'd give us the faith to overcome our sins. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd comfort the hearts that have been burdened and weighed down by sin. Lord, we pray that you'd give us the victory. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray you look down upon us, not in your wrath, but in your mercy, and have grace upon us. Lord, we're reminded that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God, we pray you'd give us much grace. Have mercy upon us now, in Jesus' name, amen. I had a special request made. I was asked, I do not normally ask this, to preach just a little bit louder. Alright, so I'm going to try that again. Now, normally when I'm out there preaching on the street, they come by, and the police officers come by, or somebody else comes by, and they're always shouting out, Chico, Chico, Prosepana, Chico. Now, what do you think that means? Quiet, quiet, quiet. And so, somebody asked tonight, would you preach just a little bit louder? I kind of like that, so I'm going to preach a little bit louder. We're just going to have a good time. I'd like to talk about something that we can get to shouting about, a great salvation. I think we ought to be on shouting ground tonight, because what kind of church do we like? We like a living church. Is that right? So I think we're getting on some shouting ground tonight, because we're going to talk about a great salvation. Now, why is it great? I wrote down some things. Why I think it's a great salvation. I think it's a great salvation, first of all, because of Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I like that word where it says whosoever, because that whosoever included me. I like that word because there was a young lady by the name of Gwen Higgins who 24 years ago, on the dark night in Ypsilanti, Michigan, took out a Bible, a New Testament, and got down there through the Romans Road, and went straight down the Romans Road, and got to Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13, and she read that verse to this old sinner, I was a young sinner at the time, and she told me, Brent, if you can put your name in there, that whosoever includes your name. Amen. I like that, I like that. That's why I think it's a great salvation. Because this salvation includes whosoever. That includes me. And that includes you, my friend. You mark it down, you can put your name in there, and you can be saved tonight. It's whosoever. That means that includes Americans, believe it or not. There are some people over in Poland doubt that. Met some people down in Mexico, had their wonders. They used to pray down there, or they used to pray out in Mexico down there. Oh, woe beyond us, Mexico, Mexico. So far from God, so close to the United States of America. You know, some people wonder. But you know what my Bible says? That God is not a respecter of persons. And so he wrote down in the Bible, talking about this great salvation, that it's for whosoever. Thank God for that. Look, if you will, in the book of Acts in chapter 10. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. My wife said, I'll take off this jacket and just loosen up. So I think I will. All right, Acts in chapter 10 and verse 34. The Bible says, and that's what we're reading, right? The Holy Bible. This is the Holy Scripture. This is the Word of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I like that. I like that Word of God where it says that God is not respecter of persons. Now some of you are part of what they call the minority, and you understand very well what it's like to be victims of prejudice. Don't you? Some of you can give witness to that. Now, we don't face that type of thing much in Poland because we just happen to blend in. I mean, we're white and everybody else over there is white. We just blend in. If we don't open our mouths, they never know the difference. We just be quiet. They never know the difference. We just walk around and we just fit right in. Now, I remember when I was down in Mexico, you didn't fit in down in Mexico. First of all, I'm taller than most Mexicans. Second of all, I'm the wrong color. And I got called all sorts of names. And you know what? It was up to some people. White people wouldn't be going to heaven. And it was up to some other people. Black people wouldn't be going to heaven. Or yellow people. Or brown people. Or whatever color your skin your is. You're not going to get to heaven. I mentioned this during the meeting. There's some people over in Poland that hate black people. I don't know if they've ever seen a black person all their born days, but they hate black people. Why? Because they are a respecter of person. But my Bible says, and thank God for this great salvation, He says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I'm telling you, this salvation is so great, it will save white people, it will save brown people, it will save black people, it will save red people, it will save yellow people, and I don't know if there's another color out there, but it'll save them too. It's a great salvation because it's for whosoever. God will save those that speak English, those that speak Spanish, those that speak Turkish, those that speak Polish. God is in the business of saving sinners, and I thank God that it's a great salvation that whosoever. Look down about verse 42. This is Peter still preaching. I'm picking up on part of his sermon. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. You know what he commanded? Now that's another sermon, but I thought I'd just throw that in there. He commanded us to do what? Preach! God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And bless God, we ought to learn how to preach the Word. Amen. Now you might not shout like I do, and you might not yell like I do. You might not have a loud voice like I do. But if you're going to preach the gospel, you got to open your mouth. See? Amen. Nobody is a gospel witness just living for Jesus. You see, you got to open your mouth, and you got to live what you say. You can't just live what you believe. You gotta say what you believe. Do you hear me? And you can't just say what you believe without living it, because then you'd be a hypocrite. And everybody hates a hypocrite. Even the hypocrites hate hypocrites. The other hypocrite. Alright. But all right, we're not gonna chase that rabbit, but that's another sermon, and you're gonna get me all wound up here just thinking about it. And to testify. You see, you're supposed to preach and testify. But that's not my message. I'm talking about a great salvation. And of course, if you know about this great salvation, what do you want to do? You want to preach it. Isn't that right? And you want to testify about it. Ain't that right? And when the police officer comes by and he says, Prosefana, she called. You say, I'm sorry, sir. I don't mean to be rude. I don't want to violate any laws. But I got a great salvation and I just got to tell somebody about it. And that is, it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To Him give all the prophets witness. Now we ought to listen up if all the prophets are in on this. That through His name, whosoever, there it is again, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Thank God for that. Whosoever. That means Gentiles, and that means Jews. Now, old Peter, he had some trouble with this right at the beginning. In fact, that's what we have in the book of Acts in chapter 10. Peter's problem with this, see. And his crowd, they got to thinking. And if you read your Bible, they got to thinking because God chose Israel way back there and blessed Abraham and Isaac and down the line, they got to thinking that they were the only ones. They should have never thought that. That was never God's intention, that they were the only ones. They were supposed to be Jehovah's Witnesses. They were the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you read your Old Testament. Just because these false witnesses today twist the Scriptures and try to apply to themselves, they were supposed to go to other nations. In fact, they got mad at our Savior when He started bringing up some of them verses. Do you know where the greatest revival ever took place in the Bible is? Nineveh! There's no Jewish nation over there. Them were Jew haters. And God wrought a great revival. And so, God has to deal with Peter because He's telling Peter he's got to go talk to these Gentiles. And he says, I'm not going to do it. So God gave him a vision. Showed him all these unclean animals. Some of them unclean animals we like to eat. I think we might eat some of them today. I'm not sure. Was that pork meat or beef meat? I don't remember. But it was good. I didn't have time to check it out. I was too busy eating it. I didn't know it was going moo moo or oink oink, but I was just eating it. I knew it wasn't going quack quack and it wasn't going chick 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 either. It was either moo moo or oink oink. Of course, I know his brother Kincaid, he wasn't waiting around to find out either. He was getting in there just as fast as I was. And I saw Brother Bob over there. He was getting his handfuls in there too. But you understand what happened here? Peter said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to partake of the unclean. And God says somewhere down there, don't you call that which I have cleansed unclean. Now, you got some people running around here saying you can't eat pork meat anymore.
call themselves Adventists. Maybe they might even call themselves something else. They can't eat pork meat because it's unclean. Well, my Bible says that Jesus cleansed that stuff. And if you can give thanks for it, then you can eat it. But I had this old man, this older man, this Adventist, come up to me and says, you can't do it. Well, I read him this chapter, Acts chapter 10. He says, no. That's they were talking about Gentiles. I said, excuse me, sir. They're talking about Gentiles? Yeah. That's what you mean. Peter wasn't allowed to slay and eat Gentiles. Is that what you're trying to say? You see, some people have a real weird interpretation of the Bible. But you see, God got through Peter's heart and showed him some things. And so now he's preaching, right? Now he's preaching. Notice what he's preaching. That God is not a respecter of persons. You see, that's one thing to be wrong, but it's another thing to continue in your error. Peter had some misconceptions of the will of God, but when God showed him, he was humble enough to admit his mistakes and do what God told him. And some of you have never learned that lesson. You're too stinking proud to say, I was wrong. I thought I had it right, but I was wrong. And that's why some of you are going to die and go to hell, because you're too stinking proud to say, I was wrong. Well, Peter wasn't that way. He figured it out. Now, it looks to me like some of his co-workers, they didn't get that vision. And so God is going to pour out His Spirit upon Gentiles, throw them Jews a little curveball, and teach them a little lesson about whosoever. And that's what happens. They all got saved. Look down at verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they Him to tarry certain days. I want you to know it's a great salvation because it's for whosoever. Now I know that grates on the KKK, and I know it grates on some of these other racist groups, but my Bible says that this great salvation is for whosoever, and thank God for that. Jesus Christ said, I am come a light in the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus spoke with a woman, had maybe five husbands, what He said. But whosoever, spoke with her, and He said, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Notice what He said. Whosoever shall drink. Whosoever drinketh. Did you know? You got some people going to knock on your door. Maybe this weekend they're going to come by your door, knock on your door. They're going to want to give you on a magazine. It's going to say something like Awake or Watchtower. And they're going to be the nicest people you ever did see. Are they going to sweet talk you? They're going to speak nice to you. They're going to say how nice you look. They're going to say you have a wonderful house. They're going to talk to you about the kingdom. They're going to paint a real pretty picture. All is well. There is no hell. Right? Right? But you know what you can do? You can sit down and ask them, hey, can I go to heaven and be with God? Just interrupt them and say, excuse me, I got a quick question to ask you. I'm in a hurry. Can I go to heaven and be with God? Well, you can go to the kingdom on earth. I said, no, I kind of like to go to heaven with God. I'd kind of like to be up there with Him. Can I do that? No, that's reserved for 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. You see, they don't believe in whosoever. Hello, are you still with me? They don't believe in whosoever. They think it's just for 144,000. I don't know how a woman Jehovah's Witness ever gets along with that, because if you read about that 144,000, they ought to figure out it's male, single, Jew. They just real happy. You know what happened is they read that and they refuse. They get all bucked up and they get all stiff-necked and they don't want to say, I'm wrong. They don't want to say, I'm mistaken. And so they shut their Bible and they go on their way and they'll probably end up in eternity in hell. That's a tragedy. They don't believe whosoever. Now I told you about how the Roman Catholic Church is getting very liberal in these latter days, and they're talking about even Muslims can go to heaven, and even Hindus can go to heaven, and even atheists can go to heaven if they're sincere in what they believe. But you know what they still have? They still have a catechism signed by the Pope. They're contradictory what they say. I call the Roman Catholics, many Roman Catholics, at least their doctrine, those that teach, I call them chameleons. Chameleons, I think is how we say it in English, right? That means that one day they're this color, and the next day they're that color. If they're crawling around and walking with Muslims, or they just look just like a Muslim. If they're crawling around with some Protestants, they look just like a Protestant. If they're walking around with some Hindus, they're going to talk just like a Hindu. You see, they just change their colors for whichever way the wind's blowing. But you know what? One day they say the Muslims can do it, but you read their catechism, you're going to find out that if you're not baptized by a priest, then you're still in your sins, and you can't go to heaven according to Roman Catholic doctrine. You ever read the Roman Catholic Catechism, some of you that are Roman Catholics? I've read it, and I'm not even a Roman Catholic. You know what they say in there? They say that if you don't go down there and confess your sins to a priest, your sins cannot be taken away. You see, they don't really believe whosoever. They believe Roman Catholic. Now, I know they got some escape clause in that catechism that you do a perfect act of charity or a perfect act of grace that God will overlook all your mistakes and somehow didn't fulfill all the sacraments if you do that perfect act of grace. But you couldn't find that person on the planet Earth. They don't exist. That's just an escape clause for them to cover their tracks. You understand what I'm saying? Now, like I said last night, you got 400 prophets over here, they're telling you one thing, and you got Micaiah over here telling you, thus said the Lord. Who are you going to believe? My Bible doesn't say just the Roman Catholics are going to go to heaven. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I can hear some of you now. You're saying, well, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. Well, you think just your religion. Well, first of all, friend, I don't have religion. I gave up on religion 24 years ago. I've got a great salvation. And that salvation comes with a great Savior. And I have the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he that hath the Son hath everlasting life, my Bible says. And if you'd have the Son, you'd have everlasting too, life too. Because the Bible says, whosoever believeth in Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a great salvation because it's for whosoever. It wouldn't be a very great salvation if it was only for the West family. I'm sorry. I like the West family. But it just wouldn't be a great salvation if it was only for all those people called West. It really wouldn't be a great salvation if the salvation was for only those that could speak Polish. We'd all be in trouble, I'm telling you. I've been trying to speak Polish for 3.5 years. Ain't quite figured it out yet. Huh? No, it's whosoever. What do I believe? I believe a Roman Catholic can be saved. I believe a Jehovah's Witness can be saved. I believe a Mormon can be saved. I believe an atheist can be saved. I believe a Hindu can be saved. I believe a Muslim can be saved if they repent of their sins and call on the name of Lord Jesus. I don't believe a Roman Catholic can be saved believing the Roman Catholic doctrine. I don't believe a Mormon can be saved believing the Mormon doctrine as is prescribed in their book of law. I don't believe a Hindu can be saved if they're going to follow the tenets of their religion. I don't believe a Muslim can be saved if they're going to follow what Muhammad taught them. But I believe that if they repent of their religion and call on the name of the Lord, my Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, maybe you don't believe the Bible. I happen to believe the Bible. I believe it's the Word of God, and that's the problem. Well, what if the Bible's wrong? Well, then I'm wrong. I cast all my marbles on one book. I'm counting on this book to be right. And you know what I found out? The Jehovah's Witness, at least they acknowledge with their mouths, they say, yeah, that book's right. You know what? The Roman Catholics, they say, yeah, we believe that book's right. You know what? The Mormons, they say, yeah, we believe that's right. I find that's interesting. And so I find a lot of people are in agreement. The book is right, and I happen to agree with the book. And I think God's a great salvation because it's for whosoever. You read through that book, you read starting in Genesis chapter 1, you read through all the way down to the end, and you're going to find a little verse stuck down at the end of it. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, why would they say come if you're not invited? Huh? The Spirit and the bride, now you know what that is. That's the Spirit of God and the Church of God. They're inviting people, they're inviting sinners, and they're saying come. Now, wouldn't that be a dirty, rotten trick if somebody invited you to a party and you got there and they said, no, you can't come. Yeah, but I'm invited. No, you can't come in. We just invited you. You can't come in. God's not that away. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then he says something else. He says, let him that heareth say, come. Isn't that what it says? You don't believe me? Look in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. That's what I'm reading. He said, come. And let him that is athirst come. And notice what he says. Thank God for this. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You and I had some dear, sweet, kind-hearted, full of charity and love and kindness Roman Catholics tell me who had studied in seminary for 6 years. Two of them had 2 more years to go to finish up seminary. Sat there and told your son and me to our face, because you do not bow down and honor the Mother of God, your souls are damned to eternity in hell. Wasn't that nice of them? Wasn't that nice and sweet of them? Huh? You know what I had some other Roman Catholics tell me to my face? They said, because I have never confessed my sins to a Roman Catholic priest, that I couldn't go to heaven. Now, wasn't that nice of them? Wasn't that nice of them? Now, I don't have time tonight to tell you about the times they got a little bit uglier and pitched stones and spit in my face and other things like that because I preach Jesus. But thank God the Bible says whosoever. I believe a Roman Catholic can be saved. I believe a Protestant can be saved. I believe Mormons can be saved. I believe the dirty, rotten atheist can be saved. Because God said, whosoever. That's why I think it's a great salvation. Look in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. Now some of you think I went a little bit too long tonight, so I'm going to put this in overdrive and see if we can finish up early tonight. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. I figure I ain't seen you for 3.5 years. I got to make up for some lost ground. You know? Huh? You know, we scored a touchdown in that last place. We're going into overtime, see? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Now, you never complain about overtime in a football game, do you? Now, why would you complain about overtime in a church meeting, huh? I don't know about you, some of you people. You're saying you want revival? Give me a break. Come on. Now, look down in verse 15. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. This is St. Paul. He says, this is a faithful saying. Huh? In other words, this is something we can trust in. Not like that mechanic. Not like that mechanic. Somebody recommended to me, I'm not going to tell their name, who recommended it. And I took my car to this trustworthy and faithful mechanic, and I said, sir, would you give me a tune-up? He said, sure would. I said, oh, by the way, I got a tire out there in this car I just bought, and it's just one of them little donuts, see? And I don't trust them little donuts because I'm going down to Mexico, and I'm going to get on some rough roads, and I'd like to have one of them real rims. Can you say that 3 times real fast? Real rim? Yeah, I can't even say it 1 time real fast. But you know, I want one rim. He said, no problem, I'll get you one of the junkyards. I said, great. So, I trusted that faithful mechanic that somebody recommended to me, and I'm not going to mention it, maybe. And so I got into my car, and I drove over here because somebody else recommended it to a nice place to get your tire changed because they just gave me the rim with an old tire, and I already had another tire going to change. You understand the picture? Well, I got there. I'm supposed to have 15-inch rims on my car, and they gave me 1 inch short. I only got 14 inches. I paid $20 for 15 inches, and they only gave me 14 inches. I come up short. Some of you paid $55 for a Bible, and you got a Bible that come up a couple inches short, didn't you? Huh? Because you're missing some verses in it. That's why you ought to go back to that bookstore and say, hey, I paid $55, or I paid $25. I want the whole thing. Give me the King James Bible. That's what I want. I want the whole thing. Now, he said this is a faithful. And he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He says, you ought to take this to heart. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save, hello, he came into the world to save sinners of who I am chief. Now I think it's a great salvation because God just didn't get in the plan of saving good people. If God came to the planet earth and made himself manifest in the flesh to save good people, I wouldn't stand a chance. And some of you know that. And I'd appreciate if you just be quiet about it. Don't say anything. Some of you know me real well. And don't be talking to my wife either. I've been married to her for 20 years, and she can tell you some tales, I tell you. But you know what my Bible says? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
And you know what? Sinners and this planet Earth are scarce as hen teeth anymore. You can't find a sinner. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You can't find a sinner. No, I'm a Protestant. Okay. No, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I had a Jehovah's Witness tell me they hadn't sinned in 20 years. I said, may I call up your husband? May I speak with your children? Do you understand what I'm saying? Every religionist that I speak with, they always say, good people go to heaven, and I'm one of them. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I can hardly find somebody who says, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner and don't deserve heaven.
Amen.
You had this murderer sitting over in a jail over here by Houston, Texas, by the name of Carla Faye Tucker, and she says, I think you ought to give me mercy on account of I can do so much good. Now, she had a real misconception of what mercy was. And a lot of you people think that God ought to save you because you got so much to offer to God. That's not what Paul said. He said Jesus came to save sinners. Now that's why I think it's a great salvation. Because he saves sinners. Now you mark it down. If what we preached the other night and read in the Word of God the other night, there's none good but one, that being God. And if God only saved good people, the only person who's going to be in heaven is Jesus Christ. All the rest of us are going to be left out. That includes the Virgin Mary. That includes the Apostle Paul. That includes St. Peter. That includes your favorite priest or your favorite minister, your rabbi and your pastor. That includes me and that includes you. We'd all be left out. But it's a great salvation because God said he came into the world to save sinners. He said it was a faithful saying. Look over in Matthew in chapter 9. Are we having a good time?
Amen.
Are you having a good time? I'm having a good time.
Now, this is my kind of sermon. I like this kind of preaching. I mean, you know, a great salvation. Matthew in chapter 9, look down about verse 11. And when we'll start with verse 10. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in a house, behold, notice what happened. Many publicans and sinners, they had a lot of sinners back then. Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, that's that crowd that didn't think they were sinners, right? That's that crowd that always pointed the finger at the other guy, right? And they said unto the disciples, why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You go home and think about that for a real long time, and then you're going to really learn something. But go ye and learn what that means. In fact, that's what Jesus said to do. He said, go ye and figure out what that means, right? And then he says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. And I want you to know, God just dropped the bombshell on all religion right there. Because every religion you can think of your favorite religion, and they're trying to give sacrifice to God. Well, I'm going to forsake having a wife, and I'm going to become a priest. I'm going to be celibate. And some of them actually make it. Very few, but some of them make it. They think that God's looking for sacrifice. They haven't quite figured out that Jesus gave the last sacrifice and God is only satisfied with His sacrifice. I know some people giving a whole lot of money because they think that God's looking for sacrifice. And they're giving and they're giving and they are giving. I know some people that have dedicated their lives to help others and they are helping others. They're making some sacrifices. But God's not looking for sacrifices anymore. He's looking for sinners. Now, how many of you like to go to the doctor? I don't like going to the doctor even when I'm sick. You know why? Because I go to the doctor, he wants to poke things in me all the time. The doctor just doesn't make me feel comfortable. He seems real comfortable, but he doesn't make me feel comfortable. Right? I mean, he does all sorts. He's always poking and doing something, right? And then he goes, And then he gets in looking at, he took an x-ray inside. I don't want him looking inside of me. He might see something, I don't want him to see. And he gets to looking in there, and he says, And then he says, would you come back to my office? And then you don't want to go back. Nobody likes going to the doctor, right? I mean, you really got to be sick before you go to the doctor, right? Especially, nobody wants to go to the hospital. Because everybody wants to think they're well even when they're sick. I wonder if I had my mother years ago gone to the doctor in time that she might have been cured. But I'd go back and visit her and she'd go, I said, Mom, I think you're sick. No, I'm not, just a little cold. Well, she died of lung cancer because she smoked. Now, there's no better reason for you to quit smoking than that. I can't find a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not smoke. But I know my mama died from smoke. I think that's a pretty good reason. And if you could visit her in the hospital, when that cancer came out of her lungs and went down and ate through her spine, then she couldn't move anymore for the last 6 months of your life, that ought to cure you from smoking. Now, my mama cured me from smoking when I was about 4 years old. I was eating my bowl of Cheerios, and she was smoking. And I went to the bathroom. And when I came back, my mother had put out her cigarette in my Cheerios. That cured me from smoking. I don't got to worry about smoking anymore. But what I'm trying to say tonight is people don't want to go to a physician. They know they're sick, but they're afraid to go. And Jesus said, only sick people go to the physician. And the reason some of you haven't gone to Jesus Christ is because you don't think you're sick or you're hiding your sickness. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Now, my Bible says that Jesus spoke unto people in parables. Isn't that what it says? All right. And why did he do that? To teach you something, right? Isn't that why he spoke in parables many times? All right, I'm going to tell you a little parable. Now, I'm going to tell a parable. There was a man in Poland who didn't know how to swim. This is a parable. That means I'm making it up. In order to teach you something. There is a lesson in these words, so listen carefully. There was a man in Poland that did not know how to swim. Now, he was walking along the beach next to the Wistula. That's what you all call it. We call it the Wisła. It's a river that flows through the heart of Poland, flows through Warsaw, Poland, the capital of Poland. And he's walking down this big river. And he's walking down there because he didn't know how to swim. And he's just walking on the beach. And he fell in. That presents a problem, doesn't it? And the river's taking him down, just dragging him away. And what's he cry out? Help me! Help me! I don't know how to swim! Somebody help me! You see? And four people came to help. Right? Yeah, well, of course. Well, you don't know yet, but I know because I'm telling the story. Four people came to help him. What does he need? He doesn't need Baskin-Robbins ice cream. What does the man need? He needs a lifesaver. Right? That's the guy that jumps in the water and rescues him. Right? You understand? Well, different men came to rescue him. The first man came to rescue him and got in a conversation with him. Now it seems interesting, but this is my story. It's a parable. He got in a conversation. What's the problem, sir? He says, you gotta help me because I don't know how to swim and I fell in the river. He says, I can understand that presents a problem, but how come you don't know how to swim? He says, well, I just never learned how to swim. He says, okay, I can understand that, but if you didn't know how to swim, what in the world were you doing walking by the river? That wasn't too bright. He says, yeah, I know I'm pretty dumb. I said, but I'm drowning out here. Would you give me a helping hand? He said, no, I ain't gonna help you. You're a dummy. I'm not gonna help no dummy. Now, here we go. Now I'm gonna ask you a question. Was that man a lifesaver? What if he said he was? He wasn't a lifesaver. I don't know what he was, but he wasn't a lifesaver. We understand? We all in agreement? We got religious harmony here tonight, see. Now there was another man come walking down there. Well, I say that. He come walking down there. And he got in a conversation. Well, now this man's got some real problems because he's really getting down the river now. And he's still drowning. And he's calling out. And you know, the river over there is real cold. And it sort of, you know, gets your muscles all tensed up where you can't swim, even if you could swim. And so he's crying out, somebody's got to help me! Help me! Help me! I'm drowning here! And then another man comes and has a conversation. He says, what's the problem? Well, I'm not going to bore you with the whole conversation because it's the same as the one before. But this time he says, I can help you. And the guy that fell in the drink, he's getting a big smile. Oh, thank God. Thank God you can help me because I'm drowning and I'm freezing out here. Would you come help me? It's cold and cold. Nice, beautiful weather here in San Antonio. I like it. And you know what happened? He says, look what I got with me. I got 10 easy lessons on how to swim. We got lesson 1, we got lesson 2, we got lesson 3, and it goes all the way down to number 10. And if you could just keep these 10 easy lessons, you'd get out of the drink. He says, I wish I would have learned that a long time ago. But right now, I don't got time to read that. And right now, I don't think I'm going to hold on much longer. Won't you help me? He says, no, I paid good money for these 10 easy lessons on how to swim. I think if you could just learn and put these into practice, you'd be able to get out of there. Are you catching on? I think you are. I think you're a pretty smart crowd. You would never walk by a river if you didn't know how to swim, would you? You wouldn't do something like that. You're better than that man, right? Be careful because you're going to walk in the steps of that first man that came along there. Be careful. Well, let me ask you something. Was that man a lifesaver? He was. You are the smartest crowd I've ever been in. Now, I preach this in Poland and they just kind of look at me. All right, well, another man comes along. And this man comes along. I don't want to bore you with the tears. He goes through the same conversation. Right? You following with me? What happened? What not? I need some help. He says, I know how to swim. And this guy gets a real big smile on his face. I mean, he is really smiling. Thank God for that. Help me. And the man takes off his coat. And that guy out there, he's really getting excited now. In fact, this man, he jumps in the water. He says, look, I can swim. He says, well, thank God for that. Come over and help me. I need some help because I'm drowning here. He says, no, I'm setting a good example. Now look at me. I'm just a swimming here. Now if you put your arm out like this and do like I do. Now watch me. Hey, don't go down underneath the water. I'm doing a show here. Now look at me what I'm doing here. Now do this. Now you gotta breathe when you gotta breathe when you're up here and then you gotta spit out when you're over there. Huh? He says, now look, you can go backwards and he flapped his... I'm setting a good example here. If you just follow my example, you'll get out of this drink. Huh? Did the man know how to swim? I guess so. But was he a helper? Was he a lifesaver? Huh? You know these people? You ever meet some people like this before? Huh? Yeah, me too. Well, along comes another man. He didn't bother getting a conversation with the man. He heard him out there crying. He said, help me, I'm drowning, help me, I'm drowning. And this man, he just jumped in the river. No conversation. It heard the man call. And it ran over, and it grabbed the man, and it dragged him out. Now, you know what this man that got dragged out of that river said? Thank God for you, sir. You're a savior. And that was a great salvation. And then you know what this guy that didn't know how to swim that wasn't too bright, that fell in the drink, you know what he had the audacity to do? This is my story, I'm telling you. You know what he did? He went home and told his daddy, he said, I fell in the drink and I was drowned, but now I'm saved. His daddy says, you can't be saved because you don't know how to swim. You can't be saved because I know you ain't never read that book on swimming. You don't even know how to read. There ain't no way that you've been saved. There's no way on God's green earth that you're saved because I know you can't swim as well as Johnny over there can swim. Are you catching the picture? Sometimes I wonder about this television age. You know, you guys watch too much videos and stuff. You can't think straight. Are you figuring out the parable? Do I got to interpret it for you? Are you? All right. For the disciples, I'm going to interpret. Here we go. All right, Bob. Get your hands up here. I want you to catch this, guy. I don't want you missing it. That man walking down the riverbank's a sinner. And that river flowing there, that's sin. And that sinner fell into the sin, and now he's drowning in sin. And that sinner wants to get out of sin because he don't like it out there. It's cold, and he's drowning. He's going to die. Are you catching this, Bob?
Yes,
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Now, that first man come along there, he's Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. And he's pointing the finger. Well, you're a dummy. Well, it's your fault. Well, if you'd been like me, you never would have got a divorce. Well, if you'd been like me, you wouldn't have gotten the problems you had. If you'd been a dad like me, you wouldn't have gotten the problems of your kids. Oh, yeah, look at me, see? You're a dummy. You know some people like that? Huh? Are you catching the picture now? Is it coming in real clear? Are we tuning in real good now? Now, that second crowd, that second man, now he represents a whole lots of people. And they're the ones that comes along. Well, if you want to get out of the river of sin, and you want to go to the banks of salvation, and you want to go to heaven, well, you have 10 commandments. Just keep the 10 commandments. If you just keep the 10 commandments, then you'd get out of sin, and you wouldn't sin anymore. If you just keep it a little bit late when you're out there in sin, don't you understand? It's a little bit late when you're drowning under the weight of sin, and now you're throwing these big old stones of commandments out. Here, catch this. Here, how did that help you? And that thing becomes a curse to you instead of a help. Isn't it what the Bible says? Read Galatians chapter 3. Now, mark it down. Had you been able to keep them commandments, maybe you never would have got by the river. But there ain't been a man, there ain't been a sinner yet that's been able to keep it, and all of us are sinking in the river. That river of sin. You getting the picture? Now, here comes the other crowd. They find somebody they think that can swim. And they say, now this is a mighty fine example. If you just live like he does, then you'll get yourself out of the river. You know some people like that? Some of them say, they even have a good example. They say, well, if you just live like Jesus does, then you'll get out of the river. Have you ever tried to live like Jesus? Some of you have been trying for a long time. I've been trying for 24 years with the help of the Spirit of God, and I find myself still weak. I want to tell you about that fourth guy, in case you didn't quite get it, because he's got a name.
Amen.
He's got a name above every other name. He's got the name of Jesus. Amen. And he heard the sinner's cry, and he went down into sin, and became a sinner. He took sin upon himself, and he died on the cross of Calvary, and he rescued the sinner.
Amen.
You know who that sinner was? He said, that's me, the chiefest of sinners. And he ran home to tell Daddy, I'm saved. And Daddy said, you can't be saved. You're a dummy. You can't be saved. You never kept the 10 commandments. I know you ain't kept the one that says, honor thy father and thy mother. There's no way you can be saved. You can't swim. And you don't live as good as Johnny over here does. Did you get the picture? My Bible says that Jesus came to save sinners. Every religion on the face of the planet thinks that God came to save good people. Do you know where God found the Apostle Paul when he saved him? On the road to commit murder. He had it in his mind. He had a certificate that said he could do it legally. And he's going out to kill some Christians. You think he was seeking God? He wasn't seeking God, but God was hunting him up. God looked down and saw him in that river of sin. He said, I got to rescue that man. And he went down and rescued him. And that's why Paul says, thank God this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ, I came into the world to save sinners of who I am chief.
Amen.
Well, that's why I say it's a great salvation, because he came into the world to save sinners. I'd like to say in John in chapter 15, are you having a good time tonight? Aren't you glad you came to church on a Thursday night? John in chapter 15 and verse 12, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I'd like to say it's a great salvation because it was great love. No greater love. You know what they were doing? When they were spitting our Savior's face, they were provoking him. They were looking for a fight. They heard that he was the big man on the block. You understand? They heard that he was the king. They heard some rumors about him. And you know these tough guys, when they find out there's another tough guy out there, they want to take him on. He says, come on, let's go. And so they smacked him in the face. They said, go on, hit me back. Come on. But he had great love. And so he took it. You understand? He took it. And so they provoked him a little bit more. And they got right up in his face. And I won't do it to you, sweetie. They spit right in his face. They spit right in his face. Come on. Provoking him for that greater love. Huh? Here's the man. That's what Pilate said. Here's the man. Behold the man. Here's the real man. He knows how to love. And it took him, they put his hands out there on that old wooden cross. And it took a big old nail and they began driving and said, come on, do something. And he just laid there. He took, because he was the man. He was God's man. He laid down his life. They hung him up there in the cross and dropped it in there. And then they began, come on down off that cross. Come down off that cross. If you're the Christ, come down off that cross. Come on down off that cross. And he just laid there, because there's no greater love than that. I think God made me skinny and small just because He knew I was going to get provoked. And when them guys are bigger than me, I'm not tempted at all. I'm just, when I realize, you know, that I ain't going to win this one. So I might as well figure out how to get out of here as fast as I can. And one guy down in Mexico, baptized Roman Catholic deacon, godly Christian, then partakers of most of the sacraments, confessed his sins on Friday, prayed to Mary three times a day. After cussing up a storm, and I said, that's no way for a Christian to speak. He came out of the gate and began hitting me. Janice is with me. She's the witness. Hit me about 15 times. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I can't just stand here all day long like a punching bag. And the thought says, well, I could just reach out and whop him back. But I figured God gave me 2 feet, and I'm going to use them. And so that's what I did. Now, I probably did that because I really wasn't sure if I hit him, I was going to win. You understand what I'm saying? If I had one of them big old monster hands like some of you guys do, maybe I would have hauled off and hit him. If I had one of them muscles like some of them guys do on them, you know, on them muscle builder things, maybe I would have hauled off and got him. Would have picked him up and said, here, you know, eat some sand or whatever, you know. I go to the gym every once in a while and push some of them weights. I get really depressed. Because some of them guys come in there and they put all them weights on. I'm thinking, man, look at this guy. And he's just a little guy. And he pushes that. He does about 20 of them. I can't even get one up. He says, nah, I'm just warming up. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus had the power. He had the ability. He could have reached out and just smacked them all dead. He could have just spoke the word and they'd all fallen down. He could have called 12 legions of angels. They'd come down and crushed them all. He could have called down fire from heaven. He could have spoke the word and disintegrated them all. But he laid there because it was a great sound. And there's no greater love than him. Come on, get off that cross. Come on down off there. But he laid there. He laid there for your sins and for my sins. Because God knew there was no other way. He knew you couldn't swim. He knew you were sinking. And he found somebody that was going to take your place. Look in John chapter 3 and verse 16. I think it's a great salvation because there's no greater price that was paid. For God's, John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now before I go on, I'm going to teach you something. I'm in a teaching mode. I'm not going to preach now. I'm just going to teach you something. Whosoever, again, is it what it says? God tells you one more time, whosoever. That means whosoever. Doesn't mean only Roman Catholics. Doesn't mean just Protestant. Don't mean just this church. Doesn't mean only people with white eyes and or blue eyes and white skin. Doesn't just mean people with brown eyes and brown skin. Doesn't mean just fat people or just skinny people. Doesn't mean just Jews or just Gentiles. Doesn't mean just 144,000. Means whosoever. Whosoever what? Whosoever believeth. But it doesn't say whosoever believe in whatever. It doesn't say that. See, I'm teaching now. It says, whosoever believes. Some people think, well, if you just believe, only believe, you just believe. I believe in this and believe in that, and I believe, oh yeah, that too, I believe that too. And so they got a saint for every day. And then they got a saint for midday and a saint for nighttime. They got a saint for everything. Yeah, that one too. In fact, a bunch of them got there and they made another little saint to the unknown God. They said, yeah, that one too. Isn't that what the Bible says? But it doesn't say whosoever believeth. It doesn't just say that. It says, whosoever believeth in Him. In who? The Son of God. God's Son. Whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but what do they have? They have everlasting life. And so when I went home to Daddy and said, hey, there was a great Savior came down the river of sin and got me out, and now I'm saved. Why can I say that? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, I believed on Him. It says, now I'm not going to perish. I have everlasting life. And slapped across the face from Roman Catholic Christian. That can't be true. You can't have everlasting life. And the Jehovah's Witnesses say, no way, no way, because you don't preach the kingdom like I do, and you don't work like I do, and you don't swim like I do. There's no way you can have everlasting life in only believing in Christ. But that's what they say. Whosoever believes. Yeah, but you weren't baptized in our temple, and you weren't baptized the way that we think you ought to be baptized. But it says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I'm done teaching. Now I'm going to go back and preach. It's a great salvation because a great price was paid. It was the price of God's only begotten Son. Now that, my friend, is a great price, isn't it? I'm going to tell you another story. Terrible. This man was very charitable. You've never met a man like this man. This man had a sincere compassion for the down and out. I mean, when he looked on the down and out, he looked on him through eyes of mercy and eyes of grace. He didn't look on him with disgust like you and I look on him. When he saw that AIDS victim there and that cancer victim there or that drug victim there and the scabs all over him, the hairs coming out and the fleas in their hair and the bugs crawling across and in the stench of rotten alcohol, when he saw him, he looked through eyes of compassion and he wasn't revolted. It wasn't revolting to him. He just looked on him with compassion. He didn't go, took him up there to the hospital, and the doctor said, this man has a rare blood disease. And not only does he have a rare blood disease, he's dying. And if we don't get some help to him quick, he's going to die, and there's not going to be any hope. But not only does he have this rare disease, but he's got a rare blood type. You understand what I'm saying tonight? He's got one, it's not A positive or B O positive or the common type. I don't even know what the common type is. I'm not a doctor, I don't know. But the common types of blood. He had one of the double negative types of blood that nobody, just very few people have. Right? I think it's Rh something, I don't know what it is, but you know, some real rare type of blood. And the doctor says, we don't know if we're going to be able to find anybody in time, because if we do a blood transplant for this man and get some of this rare blood in there and we transplant, we think we can save him. And this man who had compassion, he says, you know what? My boy has that type of blood. Because when he was sick, when he was real young, he was sick, they did a blood test on him, and that's the kind of blood he had. I tell you what, I'm going to go get my son, I'm going to bring him down, and I'm going to see if he'd be willing to transplant his blood. And the doctor says, well, you better do it quick, because if we don't do something quick, this man's going to die. And so the father went home, had a conversation with his son. Now, son, I want you to go down to the hospital, and I want you to give your blood to this man. And he said, well, son, he said, Daddy, is there any danger? And he says, well, there might be some danger, but I don't think it's helpful. And so the boy goes down and says, I'll do it. He goes down there, and they do a blood transfer. And the man that was sick was rescued. I mean, it worked. The blood transfer used worked. But lo and behold, one of the nurses got some of that bad blood on that boy's and got it crossed up. I don't know if it was a needle thing, but somehow he ended up getting that disease. Well, now there's no help for the boy. And that boy dies. Are you with me? Are you with me? And that man who had nothing but compassion, the boy dies. Now, what do you think happened? You see that man on that couch or in that hospital bed, that man that had that disease, that man that lost everything, that man that we just despise. I'm speaking to you honestly. He got up in the hospital room and didn't even say thank. That's how they prayed. He walked out of the hospital and didn't even care. Now, what do you think about it? What do you think about it? I'm asking you, what do you think about it? Don't you think that's just wrong? Don't you think that father ought to just chase after him and say, hey, what's going on here? My boy lost his life in order to save you. My boy gave his very, and I don't have my boy anymore. I can't hug him anymore. I can't put my arms around him anymore. He's dead. He's laying there in the hospital, dead, and I'm going to have to bury him, and you don't even give me a thank you. Well, I think you know who that man is. And he so loved the world. And I don't know why. I can't explain why. You'd have compassion upon depraved, good-for-nothing sinner. I don't know why God looked upon me and said, I'm going to send my son for him. I can't tell you why, but I can rejoice in it. My Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. Now look at Hebrews in chapter 10. You understand? You know where we're at in this story. Now we're going to pick up here what God says about it. But a certain fearful looking down in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27. I say verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy on the two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing? And it done despite on the spirit. I don't know who God's calling. I really don't. I know He's calling. I know God is in the business of saving sinners. You hear me tonight? I know that God is in the business of saving sinners. Some of you I look out here and I wouldn't want to give time of day to, but God does. Some of you have tasted of that heavenly gift. And some of you can shout and dance about the great salvation. But you got some neighbors that never even heard about it. That's why Paul said, awake the righteous, then not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this. We're in a revival meeting. That means we want to renew ourselves. We want to start over. We want to live again like we're supposed to live. We want to live like we used to do. You know, we did run well. I mean, we were running real good. That's what we're talking about, revival. I'm talking to you Christians. I mean, God pulled you out of the river of sin, and you won't even go home and tell Daddy about it because you're afraid he's going to say you're too dumb to be saved. Isn't that right? Am I talking to you tonight? Huh? Some of you are afraid to go and talk to your next door neighbor. You've been living next door for 20 years, and you're afraid to go next door and say, I want to tell you about a great Savior. Because you're afraid they're going to say, but you haven't kept the Ten Commandments. Isn't that right? You're afraid to go down the street and talk to that man that's drowning in the river himself and needs to know about a Savior. You're afraid to go down there and tell him because you're afraid he's going to compare you to somebody else. Am I talking to you straight? Now we're going to give an invitation. And like I said, I'm going to tell you again. Just seems practical. If the Spirit of God is saying come and the bride is saying come and whosoever's athirst says come, You'd think and you'd figure it out that you just ought to come. Am I talking to you straight? Am I twisting the scripture? Are you saved here tonight? Do you have everlasting life? Are you convinced of it? Are you preaching it? Are you witnessing it? Are you testifying? Kind of run short of amens, aren't we? I think we ought to say, woe me. All right. Now we're going to give an invitation. You know what? We're not even going to play any music. Because if he says come, you just ought to come. You shouldn't have to wait for music, right? All right. We've got some chairs up here. We put them up here so you can kneel down and pray. God spoke to you. Get out of your seat. Walk right down here. You think that God that loves you so much and he gave his only begotten son would reject you if you came right down here and prayed? Don't wait. Don't wait. I know it's a strange kind of invitation, but that's just the way it's going to say come. Thank God there's one. Is there another? There's another. Are you too proud to come? Are you too proud? There's another. How about you? There's another. That's what you ought to do. You ought to just come. I think if the Spirit of God is wooing and speaking to you, then you just ought to come. Would you like to be saved? Maybe you're not sure about salvation. Hey, I'd like to tell you about salvation. If it wasn't clear enough for you tonight, I got some more verses I can give you. Hey, this is a promise book. I got some more promises I can go to and you can read. Are you sure about salvation? God spoke to you tonight. I think you just ought to humble yourself like these have already come and you ought to pray. You see, we've got a great Savior. We've got a great Savior because it's a great salvation. Not only does he save, he keeps and he protects and he continues to love and he continues to pour out compassion. Do you hear me tonight? That's why I said it's a great salvation. That's why I should have said, woe be to you if you neglect so great a salvation. Man, if God did that for us and he died for sinners, who are we? Who are we to resist? Who are we to call out and say, well, I'm not going to come? When the Spirit and the bride say come. All right, now I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, I think I did my best. And I say that knowing full well it doesn't depend on me. Lord, you said go and preach, and I preach. Lord, I know unless you move that all my preaching is in vain. Lord, I'm convinced unless you build the house, then I labor in vain. God, I'm convinced unless you open eyes and grant repentance and grant faith, then who am I? But Lord, I'm also convinced that you chose by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe, and so I preach. Maybe I could have done better. But Lord, I ask you to bless. Lord, this group of believers, I speak for myself also, Lord. We confess that we're sinners. Lord, we confess that we're sick. We acknowledge you as to be the great physician. We come to you. You said come, so we come. Lord, we don't even know how to pray, so we ask you to help us. Lord, we were convinced that you resist the proud, but you give grace unto the humble. So we confess our pride and humble ourselves. And Lord, we're asking for blame. We're asking you to help us be a witness, an effectual witness, a soul winner, Lord. We're asking you to help us persuade sinners. Lord, we're asking you to take away our pride. We're asking you to take away our self-righteousness. Lord, we're asking you to take away our vanity. Lord, we're asking you to take away our coldness and lukewarmness. Lord, we're asking you to take out this old, wicked, vile, earthly heart and create us a clean heart. We're asking you to restore unto us the joy of your salvation. We're asking you to build this church, to revive us. Lord, we're asking you to forgive us for rejoicing only in past victories and think about how well we used to run and forget we still got a long race before us. Lord, we confess even those sins we've forgotten about and we've overlooked. We come before you and acknowledge that we're but dust and ashes. We ask you to look upon us in mercy, not because we're worthy. We have nothing to rejoice in but you. You are our rejoicing. You are our refuge. Lord, we come to you asking for help because we know the devil's against us. We know that our flesh rages against us. We know the world's against us. But Lord, we come to you. You're our great help. And Lord, we cry out, help us, help us. Bless us now in that great name of Jesus, the name above every name, as these are all. I would ask you, this revival meeting is winding down, I would ask you to continue to pray.